I know we were blessed this morning with the message we received, and I know we will be blessed this afternoon with the message that we will receive. And I know our brother Frank would appreciate our prayers and our smiles. Brother Frank.
Thank you, Brother Vic. Good afternoon, everyone. This is a bad time. I am sleepy. I should be home in bed with my nap. And I see sleepy eyes out there. You know, in the Philippines, I've probably preached many, many, many times more than I have in the United States. And probably hundreds of sermons. And I had one sermon in the Philippines. That was a great success. I mean, they loved it. Best sermon you ever preached, they tell me. I have one today, based on what I preached in Kahayag. Now, I'm not going to do the same thing, because I'm going to tell you what made that sermon so great for them. I had a sermon based on a song in the Red Book, and I sang the song. And they're after you all the time to sing. That made it the greatest sermon they ever heard me sing. I'm not going to do that today, but I am basing a sermon on a song. And I'm just going to read the verses, unless you would like to sing them. It might help you keep you awake. Turn to 320 in your red books. And why don't you sing for me the first verse, not the chorus, just the first verse. Notice what the first thing is talked about here? Giving praise. Giving praise and glory. You and I cannot expect the promises of God if we fail to praise Him. The term praise is found 265 times in the Bible. In Psalms, it says we praise Him because His mercy endureth forever. Oh, what great mercy God has for you and I. And we are so undeserving. Undeserving of that mercy that God gives us. In the 118th Psalm, it says, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. That's a promise of God. That if you and I follow Him, if you and I accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, He will become our salvation. You know, we endure much in this world. each one of us. We endure troubles. We endure trials, sicknesses. We endure all of the slings and arrows of the world. But God promises salvation, a rest from all those slings and arrows, a rest from all those troubles, a rest from all those health problems that you and I have from time to time. One of the greatest promises of God, Hebrews 13:15 says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Not asking a difficult thing of you and I. He's just saying, say it. Say, oh Lord, I praise thee. Oh Lord, I love thee. Oh Lord, I rely on thee. That's all he's asking of you and I. Sing the second verse to me, would you please? Now I can assure you that you sound so much better than I did in kayak. The promises of God are sure. God will never fail to hold up his end of the bargain. You know, when you and I went down into the waters of baptism, actually it started probably a little before that. When we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. You know, he says to us, I'm going to make a bargain with you. You're going to go into the waters of baptism and I'm going to wash your sins away. And you're going to come out clean, ready to face the new world. And you're going to continue from sin. You're going to live a Christ-like life. You're going to do those things that I tell you to do. That's our part of the bargain. And in Christ, on his side says, and if you do this, I'm going to give you eternal life. I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to care for you. You will be mine. We made a contract with our Heavenly Father. And we agreed to do certain things, like obey His word, like to live that Christ-like life, like to put Him first place in our lives. And I guess the question that I have this morning, are we doing this? Are you and I upholding our side of the contract? Now, if we signed that contract here on earth, And we didn't uphold our side of the contract. What would happen to that contract? Be null and void, wouldn't it? The contract must be upheld by both sides. Now we know, you and I know, that God is going to uphold his side. You know, that's a moot question. Are we upholding ours? A very important question for you and I to think about this afternoon. To think about this afternoon. Are we upholding our side of the contract? You know, how much time do we actually give Christ in our lives? Hour on Sunday morning? Maybe two come to Sunday school? Maybe an hour Sunday evening when we come to service? Maybe an hour and a half on Wednesday evening. How many hours is that? It takes a lot more hours than that, brothers and sisters, for you and I to uphold our end of the contract. Just doing that, just attending the call services is not enough. It's not putting him first. And that's one of the things that he asked for in his contract. It says you'll put me first place in your lives. Now, I admit that's hard to do. I know it's hard to do. I raised a family. Lived a life of work. Making a living. Faced all of the trials and tribulations. So I know that I'm not asking something that's easy. But now is the time, brothers and sisters, for you and I to place him number one. I want to read out of 2 Peter. Second Peter, our first chapter. Verses 1 through 4. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby we are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. All these things that we talked about that can come upon mankind daily. It says here in Peter that through his divine power, he has given us a way to escape those things. If we uphold our end of the contract. Moses told the people that God will not fail thee or forsake thee. If you take nothing away today but that, in your mind, that knowledge that God will not fail us. God will not leave us. As long as we are striving to uphold our end of that bargain that we made in the waters of baptism. In the 11th chapter of Luke, Jesus says, your heavenly Father will not fail to give unto you whatsoever ye ask of him. And what are we asking him? Give us, O heavenly Father, that which you have promised. Sure, you and I expect his watch care. You know, we expect his guidance in our daily lives. But what we look forward to most is that eternal salvation, that ultimate prize that he has promised us. Sing to me verse 3, please. In the Book of Mormon, this is in 2 Nephi, first chapter. 2 Nephi, first chapter, verses 117 through 120. And because that they are redeemed from the fall, they have become free forever, knowing good from evil. And that's you and I. We know good from evil. I certainly know when I do that which not pleases God. And so do you. And so do you. To act for themselves and not to be acted upon, save it be by the punishment of the Lord at that great and last day, according to the commandments which God hath given. Wherefore men are free according to the flesh, and all things are given them which are expedient unto man. And they are free. He's talking about you and I. We are free to choose liberty and eternal life through the great mediation of all men, or to choose captivity and death according to the captivity and the power of the devil. In that contract that God made with us, He gives us the right to choose for ourselves. We chose to be here today. We'll choose what we do tomorrow. We'll choose what we do the next day. We'll choose what actions we take. We'll choose what thoughts we think. We'll choose the things that we do to our fellow men. Let us make sure that those things that we choose to do are the things that will bring us closer to the salvation of God. And not closer to the devil. Yes. Christ suffered on the cross. He bled. He died. And He did this to give us that liberty to follow or not to follow. Sing to me verse 4. Daryl, that sounded just like me. Christ by love. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and strength. Love Him more than anything else. Love Him as He loved us. John 3:16. And so God loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that we should live through Him. Give His only Son so that you and I could live. So that you and I could have the opportunity that we have today to choose liberty or to choose captivity. In the book of Moroni, chapter 10, starting with the 7th verse. And ye may know that He is by the power of the Holy Ghost. And we have been given that gift, brothers and sisters. When we had hands laid upon our head, we were given that gift of the Holy Ghost. And we should know that he is by that power. Wherefore, I would exhort you that ye deny not the power of God. For he worketh by power according to the faith of the children of men, the same today and tomorrow and forever. You know, that's kind of a sobering thought, isn't it? It says that he works through the faith of man, the same as he did yesterday. Seen any seas parted lately? Seen any mountains moved lately? And again, I exhort you, my brethren, that ye deny not the gifts of God. For they are many, and they come from that same God. And there are different ways that these gifts are administered, but it is the same God who worketh all in all. And they are given by the manifestations of the Spirit of God unto men to profit them, to build us up, to encourage us, to help us along our way, to bring us closer to eternal life. And it goes on in the next couple of verses, and it tells about how these mighty miracles and everything are given to different ones and not the same person. But then in verse 12, I'll end up by reading, and all these gifts come by the Spirit of Christ, and they come unto every man severally according as he will. Let's sing verse 5.
It's
a true statement. You and I cannot fall. You and I cannot fail if we stand on the promises of God. We can't fail or we can't fall if we humbly listen to that voice of the Holy Ghost, who is working with each one of us, endeavoring to bring us closer, endeavoring to bring us together, together in love, together in unity, together in purpose, and together we cannot. I'd like to read a little bit out of Matthew. Everyone knows where I'm going. I'm going to chapter 5. I'm going to read some of the promises of God. This has probably been read hundreds of times from this pulpit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. A few of the promises of God that you and I can rely on. Then I'd like to turn for my last reading This is in 2 Nephi. I think I'm wrong. I think it's 3 Nephi. It is, I'm sorry. 3 Nephi. Verses 32 and 33. Of the 11th chapter of 3 Nephi. And even unto the great and last day, when all people and all kindreds and all nations and tongues shall stand before God to be judged of their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. If they be good, to the resurrection of everlasting life. If they be evil, to the resurrection of damnation. Being on a parallel, the one on the one hand and the other on the other hand. According to the mercy and justice and holiness which is in Christ, who was before the world begun. And you and I are eventually going to go there. We're going to have to stand before that bar. We're going to be judged, judged of our works, judged on how well we upheld our end of our contract. Make no mistake. We have signed a contract, and we have signed it with our blood. Eternal life, eternal damnation. That is our choice. There's a poem by Helen Steiner Rice, and it's called He Cares. Somebody cares and always will. The world forgets, but God loves you still. You cannot go beyond His love, no matter what you're guilty of. For God forgives until the end. He is your faithful, loyal friend. And though you try to hide your face, there is no shelter in any place that can escape his watchful eye, for he's on the earth and in the sky. He's ever present and always there to take you in his tender care and bind the wounds and mend the breaks. And when all the world around forsakes, somebody cares and loves you still. And God is someone who always will. Thank you for your time.